the more you can be authentic and honest about your journey and where you are, the more people can actually relate to you and actually say, wow, you get me, you understand me, we're on similar journeys. Because of you sharing your journey, your light, I'm able to see, oh, okay, I'm normal. That makes your messaging much, much stronger, much more clear. It pulls in the people that you were called to walk this journey with. And that's what leadership is all about.
Welcome to Messaging for Impact, a podcast hosted by Queenette Wobedo, founder of Profitable Coach Institute. Queenette guides you on growing your business and sales confidence. Join Queenette as she dives deep into the world of messaging mastery, helping you attract the right audience, enroll paying clients, and create a lasting impact with your message. Get ready to enroll the right fit clients effectively and efficiently while still having plenty of space in your calendar for family and fun. It's time to transform your messaging and generate clients on demand. And remember, you are an unstoppable queen.
Hello, unstoppable queen. This episode, we are going to discuss abandonment wounds and your messaging. Abandonment wounds and your messaging. Oh, so I was studying, I was in my journal, doing my work, literally doing my healing work, doing my self-care work, doing the emotional work, doing the work. Like, let's just be clear about that, right? I'm just doing the work and studying, and something hit me and I had a revelation. And the revelation was this: abandonment issues, right, from the past makes you hide and not accept who you are at the very core, right? And whoo, so I was like, hold on, get the headphones, let's get on this podcast and let us have a conversation. So this is fresh revelation. This is real time happening right now. And thank you, Jesus, for having a podcast. Thank you so much for the grace and understanding that I need a podcast. Oh. Oh my God. So this is the reason why. So we can have these conversations real time right now. Let's go, right? So growing up, right, one of the deepest core wounds that I had was abandonment. And it's funny I'm saying was, because I should say is abandonment wounds. And that happened as a result of coming to America with my mom and three brothers at the age of 7. My mom decided to come here, leave Nigeria for a better life for us, right? So my father was in Nigeria at the time. And I don't know if I mentioned that I come from a polygamous family. So my mother was a third wife of, So she had the youngest children, if you will, right? So all the older kids were already older, doing their thing and stuff like that. So my mother was like, all right, let me bring my children here. And, you know, let them go to school, you know, and do their thing. So 4 years while being in America, my mother get a phone call, and the phone call was alerting my mom that my father had died and she had to go to Nigeria to bury him. And so she gathered all four of her children in the living room and she told us, like, listen, I'm going to Nigeria. This is what happened with your dad. And I'll be back, you know, you're going to stay here with your aunt and uncle and continue your classes, continue to go to school. And I'll see you guys back here in a few months. My mother left to Nigeria. I was, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-ish, years old. And, she went to Nigeria, and during that time that she was in Nigeria, she, you know, we stayed with my aunt and uncle, which is her siblings. And, you know, going to school, doing our thing. I think it was a couple of months that she had been there. And, you know, I went to my aunt and I said, oh, you know, when is my mother coming back? Because I'm born on Christmas. So, you know, Christmas is a big deal in Nigeria. And it's a big deal for me. Obviously, I'm born on Christmas. So whenever someone comes from Nigeria, you know, they always bring stuff. They're going to bring like fish. They're going to bring seasoning to cook. They're going to bring some of the seeds that we use to cook some traditional soups and stuff like that, they're going to bring stuff. So it's always like a party when someone's coming back because you already know they have goodies and stuff like that. So I asked my aunt, and my aunt said, oh, your mother's coming back this Christmas. So I was like, oh, cool. She'll be back before my birthday. So, you know, I can see her. So birthday, you know, December comes around and stuff like that. And I don't see like any signs of my mother coming. I don't see my aunt prepping for anything. Like, you know, we're just like, you know, business as usual. So I'm thinking, oh, she knows it's my birthday. Maybe she wants to surprise me. Right. And so the day before, which is the 24th, Christmas Eve, my heart is beating. Like, I'm anticipating, like, all right, oh my God, I don't know if it's coming. She wants to surprise me for my birthday and all this stuff. So I go to bed. I wake up in the morning, run to the living room. And at first, like, I didn't smell anything, right? So in my mind, I'm like, okay, things are probably in the kitchen, but I didn't smell anything. Because, you know, when someone comes back from Nigeria, you smell them and their spices before you actually see them. Like, let's just be real. You can tell when somebody has just come from another country because they smell like the country. They smell like the seasoning and all those things, right? So I didn't smell anything. It was just like regular. So I didn't see my mom. So I ran to my aunt. I was like, oh, where's my mom? Oh, she was like, oh, Queen Anne, you know, your mother couldn't come back. And I was like, oh my God, like in my head, like, you know, like I was so let down, like my heart, like I felt the pain in my heart. I was like, oh, and I just walked away like it was nothing. And I was like, wow, like that, I don't know if I felt like that was the first time I felt like real pain, like something that was like emotionally painful, right? I was like, man, I was so let down about that. So then, all right, so I'm going to school, doing my thing again or whatever, right? And so, like, months are going by. I'm looking around, like, where is this lady? Like, where's my mother? And so, again, towards the end of the year, it's coming back again. I'm asking my aunt, like, you know, is my mother coming back? Like, where's my mother? So she said, don't worry, your mother got tied up in something. She's coming back this December, the next December. So I was like, all right, cool. So, again, waited. I'm thinking, all right, is this Christmas? Christmas Eve, waiting. I'm like, all right, let me go to sleep. It's going to be now, you know. Next morning, ran to the living room. Same thing. No mother. Went to my aunt. Auntie, what happened? Like, my mother, what happened to my mother? Queenette, listen, you know, things happened. Something came up and she couldn't come. I was 13, 14 at that time, 15 years old. Auntie, is my mother coming? Yes, your mother's coming. Run to the living room. Same thing. 16 years old. Auntie, is my mother coming? Yes, your mother's coming. Ran to the living room. Nothing. At 16 years old, I was in the 11th grade going on 17, right? So I was like, I'm in December baby. So like, I'm probably a little bit older than most kids. So in 11th grade, I was about 17. Yeah, I was 17. Because December had come, I made a declaration, right? I made a declaration. I said, I will never, ever, I was in school when I said this to myself. After my aunt said to me, my mother's not here, you know, something happened again, ran to the living room and she wasn't there. I was like, wow, like another stab wound in my heart. I went to school that day and I declared, I made a pact. What is it called? What is it when you make a pact, when you say you declare something? I went to school and I declared, I said, I will never, ever again trust anybody else in my life. Because when you trust people, they're going to lie to you, right? They're going to lie to you. And you can't trust them. So you got to do things on your own because you cannot trust, you cannot rely on people, right? So I said that. The following year, I said the same thing. When I was a senior, I said the same thing. I was like, I will never ever trust people again because look what they do. When you trust them, they lie to you and then you can't rely on them, right? So I said it again in 12th grade as if I didn't hear myself the following year, as if I was trying to make sure, Queenette, let's just be clear about this. Moving forward, you don't trust people and you don't rely on them, right? This was the beginning of deeply seated abandonment wounds that like literally laid the foundation of how I started to move forward as a young woman, right, in the world, right? And how that transferred into other areas was that when I first was introduced to my current husband, we would go out on dates and things like that. And I almost broke up with him because I thought, you know, I started to get feelings for my mom's like, we never remember, we don't do this love thing. Like this love thing, we don't do that because you cannot trust people and you can't rely on them. So what are you falling in love for? Like, don't let's not stop. Wait, don't waste time. Like, you know what I mean? Like, stop the games, right? That was something that I had already said to myself, right? So one day we were gonna go out, right, for date night. And at the time, I shouldn't say date night because we were dating. So we were going to go out on a date and I was going to break up with him. So that was the night I was going to break up with him, right? So I was getting ready. I was like, all right, so this is how you're going to say it so he doesn't take it the wrong way or whatever. I got in the car and I said to him, Ifani, I want to, before we go, I want to tell you something. He was like, oh, you know what? Like, very matter of fact, this is how we was talking, very good vibes, everything. And he was like, listen, you know, we can't go out anymore. You know, we can't date anymore. And the look on his face, I will never forget, because he looked at me like what? Like bewildered. Like, where is this coming from? We have been having such a good time talking for hours and hours, spending hours and hours together. Like, literally, like just getting to know each other. Like just purely, like, you know, like it's been so good. And the truth is, it's been so good, which is why I ended up really liking him. And he was like, what did I do? That was his first reaction. What did I do? And that made me feel bad. 'Cause I was like, no, you didn't do anything. You didn't do anything. It's just me. Like, I just know that, you know, in the long run, we're not gonna be together long anyway. So like, I don't wanna like waste time. You know what I mean? Like what I was saying was like, it's not gonna work anyway. So what would be the purpose of putting ourselves and myself through this just for it not to work out in the end? This is all over what I was saying, what I was saying. I was 20 something at the time, right? So he was like, no, like everything is gonna be fine. Like, I like you, you know, you like me, like everything is fine. Like, where is this coming from? So I was so we stayed in the car for 3 hours, right? And ultimately we kept talking and I said to him and I said, listen, you know, ultimately, you're Nigerian. You're gonna want me to do nursing. Right now, you're cool with me as a psych, but you're gonna want me to do nursing. You're gonna want me to just cook and clean and just be this person that I'm not. You know what I mean? Like, I have dreams. I have, you know, I have these things that I want to do, and you know, like, I was essentially saying you're not gonna want me the way I really am gonna be. You know what I mean? Like, you're not gonna want the real Queeness, is what I was saying. You're gonna want a version of that. And I'm not prepared. Again, I didn't say this part, but I'm thinking I wasn't prepared to be rejected about for being the real me. So he was like, no, I like you the way you are. Like, I know you're not a typical, you know, not Nigerian, but I know I like what I'm seeing. Like, I like you. You're fired. Like, I like you. He was trying to tell me, like, no, you don't understand, Queenette. Like, I like you the way you are. That's the point. And I'm saying, no, I'm not. So essentially, let me translate what I was saying. I'm not good enough. In the long run, you're not gonna like me. And he's saying, no, you don't understand. Because of the way you are, I like you. Do you want like? So it took him 3 hours. We went in the car for 3 hours, and I'm 3 hours. I'm being really generous by saying 3 hours because I think it was a little bit longer than that. But I'm saying 3 hours for him to finally make it be known that I already see who you are. I already see that you're different. I already see who you like. I already get that who you are. I like that. Like, I like you. Like, it was almost like someone trying to explain to you, like, I like you. Period. Stop the madness. He didn't say that, but that was essentially like bewildered. Like, how can you be telling somebody, I like you for who you are? And the person's like, no, you don't understand. You don't like me for who I am. You see what I'm saying? It was just like a, like, so finally, right? There was a moment, and I want you to hear my heart when I say this, right? There was a moment in time. I don't want to cry, but there was a moment in time where the Holy Spirit said to me, Queenette, just trust me. It was a moment where it was like, I feel like God came and was like, that you have to trust me on this one, right? You have to trust me. I got you. I got you, right? Further translation, not from that 20-year-old, but now, was that Holy Spirit saying that I got you this time was really saying that you were relying on other people. You were relying on outside, and trust my Holy Spirit, trust my voice, trust the direction, trust me. I got it. Like, I got it, right? Put your heart in my hands. I got you. You're going to be okay. So there was a moment, right, where just the voice was like, Quina, you just have to trust. You just have to trust. If you want the kind of love you saw in the Cosby Show, this is the moment where you get to test it and you get to see. Now, to some of you who don't have abandonment issues, this might sound like, well, you know, Quina, like, come on. But for those of you who have any type of level of abandonment issues, trusting somebody with your heart might as well be like jump out of an airplane, jump out of, climb. What's the biggest mountain? Climb Mount Everest with sneakers. You know what I mean? It might as well just be that big. So I just want to share, like, it was such a big mountain for me to be like, because you know what I'm talking about, where it's like, I'm good. You know, you can be with somebody and not really be and not really give your heart over. That moment was like, Quinette, you're going to hand your heart over on a silver platter, right? You're going to hand it over to this man and you're going to trust that even if it's heartbroken, God got you, right? You're going to trust so that you can open your heart up to receive all the love that's available for you. Like, I want you to understand what was being asked. That was the quest. That was the journey. Like, you have to trust without knowing how it's going to end. And you have to trust the voice that said, Quinette, I got you. Like, I got it. Like, it's going to be, you're going to be okay. So that for me was just one of my biggest leap in finally healing, beginning stages of healing my abandonment wounds, which was like trusting again, trusting love again, risking that my heart will be broken and still saying, yes, I'm going to trust it because I want the Cosby family. I'm going to trust that this man really has my best interest at heart. And, and 20 years later, we're still together. And that's because I trusted the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said, I got, it was like so pure. It was so clean. There was nothing, there was no yelling. The Holy Spirit just said it in a matter of fact voice. Like, just trust me. It was just so simple. Like, you just trust me. Like, it's just like, just love him. Just give your heart. And I did. And I did. And so, being married 18 years now, we've been together for 20 years, and truly the love of my life, like truly. This relationship has healed so many things. God's grace is so amazing. I've been through so many things that broke my heart, that made me not want to trust people. And single-handedly, this marriage has restored so much. And I think God uses marriage and relationships in a way that I think we just simply cannot comprehend sometimes. And this is a masterclass on life. Like, my marriage for me, honestly, has been a masterclass. It's not just the idea of just being married and being with somebody. Please hear my heart when I'm saying that. It's just the masterclass of compromising, the masterclass of fully loving someone unconditionally, being loved unconditionally, to have someone see you for who you are and want more for you the way you want more for yourself. Be the backbone and really be able to depend. Remember when I made the vow in 11 and 12th grade, and I was like, I will never ever trust anybody and I cannot rely on people. Being able to rely on my husband, and that didn't happen the first couple of years of marriage, right? He was always consistent. He's Nigerian man. Always, he does what he says he's going to do, right? So there was no reason for me early on to not fully rely and like really fall back and just enjoy everything. Even I would tell him, like, can you take me here? Can you take me? Like, I would totally, like, I know he would be like, you kind of did. But I'm talking when I finally fully felt like, oh my God, like he got it. It was a few years in because I was still hanging on. Like I loved him complete, like did give my heart, but in terms of full reliance and like, oh, fall down and just catch me. It took a few years, right? There's another story about that with my brother's wedding, but that's a different story. So I say all this to say this, right? I say all this to say that when I was running away from love, right? And because of my abandonment wounds, what I was saying was that the parts, my real self, my authentic self, you will not accept. You will not accept me for who I am. And how this plays out in messaging, how this plays out in making a bigger impact in the company that you run is that you feel like the truth of who you are, people will not accept it. You feel like the truth of who you really, really are, if you said what it is in your heart, if you shared your real stories, if you just stand 10 toes down in what you believe in and your experiences, people will not accept it. And so what you do is you put on a mask and you perform. And I know that firsthand. I am there. It's almost the same thing in school. You go to school, right? And it's so funny that we judge people for performing when that's all we're taught in school. Like homeschooling my kids now, like the way they're schooling now and the way I was taught in school is like night and day. Like my kids are literally learning how to be themselves, self-actualizing, choosing their path, their way, doing it their way. And in school, you're taught, this is what we want you to learn. This is how we want you to pass the test. This is how we even want you to do the math problem. And do the math problem this way. If there's another way to solve this math problem, you better not do that because this semester we're learning the math problem this way. So we're taught to give people back what they gave us in school. So for those of you that feel like shaming and judging yourself for performing on social media and just doing what you have to do to be successful, I want you to let that go because we are reared to do what we want to do what is accepted in society so that we are applauded for it, so that we can fit in, so that we can get along, right? And get by, right? So we literally are taught this. And so for me, coming on social media and trying to figure out and find my voice and all these things and going through like, okay, comparison, copying, mimicking and all these things because I want to be successful. Yes, I've done those things. Yes. And I see people doing those things too. And I have a lot of grace and understanding because they're on their journey of self-discovery as well. And so when it comes to your messaging, right, I want you to really consider, where do you feel like abandonment wounds are still showing up? Where you feel like you're hiding the authentic message that wants to come through you? Where you feel like if you share this part of yourself, that will not be acceptable? Where you feel like family and friends will still judge you? Where you're hiding who you really are because you're afraid that if you show who you really are, people will judge that. People will not accept that. They will banish you. They will say, oh, why are you talking about the universe when it's God? I remember one lady said that. Not to me. She was saying on social media, like she was so upset. I hate when people talk about the universe. Don't you disrespect God? Like, ma'am, whatever you believe in, stand 10 toes down on that. No one's trying to make you believe something you don't. Period. Right? I'm going to stand 10 toes down on what I believe in. If it doesn't vibe and you don't agree, that's okay to stop listening. No one's forcing anyone's hand here. Right? I want you to give yourself full permission to be who you are, share what you know up until now. You're going to evolve. You're going to change. You're going to grow. And as you grow and evolve, you share how you've grown and how you've evolved. We all get to do that. There are things that I'm sharing right now, two years from now, 3 years from now, I'm going to have another growth. Well, first of all, the growth and evolution is happening every day, right? But maybe perhaps, let's say a year, two, 3 years from now, there's going to be some growth that happens again. And I'm going to have fresh revelation again. And my thoughts and opinions and things like that will evolve. I get to do that without shaming the this year Queenette. I get to not shame 2024 Queenette because 2027 Queenette has a different understanding. And so what I want to share with you is that things that you've done in the past, let's say 2022 you, 2020, you COVID, your era in COVID, and you who you are right now, if that's evolved and that's changed, that's okay. Share that. Here's how I'm growing. Here's what I understand now. Here's what I'm looking at now. Here's what I'm interested in now. Here's how my assignment has shifted. Here's what I've learned about myself. Here's how I'm growing. When I tell you, right, the more you can be authentic and honest about your journey and where you are, the more people can actually relate to you and actually say, wow, you get me. You understand me. We're on similar journeys. We were a similar journey because of you sharing your journey, your light. I'm able to see, oh, okay, I'm normal. Like I get to grow as well. I get to heal this parts as well. I get to glean from you and learn from you, right? And so that makes your messaging much, much stronger, much more clear. It pulls in the people that you were called to walk this journey with. And that's what leadership is all about. Leadership is not about the glitz and the glimmer. You see, I was getting through this podcast because I wanted to share the truth of my heart at the moment. So there were tears, right? Not going to hide those tears, not going to hide the pain of the fact that I felt abandoned by my mom, right? I'm not going to hide my truth. Before, I used to hide it because as a Nigerian, you're not allowed to talk about how your parents hurt you because it seems as if you're being a disobedient child. It seems like you're not honoring the mother and the father. I absolutely am honoring both my mother and my father, right? And the one way I honor them is to heal, is to talk about this, is to make sure that my children, if I hurt them, that I'm apologizing and healing, to make sure that the next generation, I can do a little bit better, right? I can do a little bit better. I want to say a whole lot better, but I could do better, right? So I honor the lineage by being better. You cannot honor your mother and your father by not being better, right? And so I say all that to say, right? When it comes to, I want you to look and see, when it comes to abandonment moves, how and your messaging, are you allowing, are you keeping yourself invisible? Are you still hiding? Do you still have a mask on? And is it time to break free of that? Is it time to share some of the truth, knowing with the full understanding that even if you are a wife, right? Let's say you are a wife coach, right? And you're going through some hard times with your husband, that if you share the things that you're going through, that the tough, difficult times that you're going through with your husband, that doesn't make you less of a good coach, right? One of my clients, she's a career coach. She literally got laid off from her job while we were while she was in coaching. Does that mean that she cannot lead other women into getting better careers? Absolutely not. Another coach, she's a marriage coach. She does marriage, health, and all these things. She had had some health issues, some flare-ups, and some mindset issues, right? During the time we were coaching, does that mean that she doesn't get to lead her group of people? No, absolutely. Our trials, tribulation, just gives us more stories, more gems, more strength, more nuances to be able to lead our group of people that we've been called to lead more effectively. And so when you leave your stories out, please hear me. When you leave your stories out, you're also leaving out the medicine, the thing that makes your medicine actually heal. Let that land, right? So that's why, like, if you notice, my messaging has no choice but to evolve because I've evolved. Like, I can't just give you the three steps. I have to talk about the messaging in this way now. So, because I know that if you catch this vibe, the frequency of your messaging is going to come from such a deep soulful place that when you're sharing your stories and you're sharing what you have to say, you're sharing it knowing that, wow, I am a leader even when I'm growing and evolving. I am a leader even when I'm in the gap or I have a correction to make. And so I'll make that correction. I use the middle passage and looking up and understanding where the history comes from, I'm going to withdraw using the middle passage. The history is so deep and dark that I don't want to trigger that response from people. So I'm going to go back to like using the whole growth and evolution and being in the middle of a gap and that or in the valley, like in being in a valley, right? The valley part is just like the down part where it feels like things are not working out, things are rough, right? So the middle passage, I use this like in two podcasts before, and please forgive me for not being sensitive about the historical context of that. Please accept my apologies. I should have done better there, for sure. I don't know how I let that escape me. So having said that, I just want to be clear about that. So when it comes to this growing place, right, where we're in the gap or where we're in the valley, right? You know, I want you to trust that we need to hear your valley. Please, we need to hear the gap. Lord have mercy, we need to hear the gap. The gap is where the medicine is. We think it's the glitter. No, it's the gap. Ooh. Ooh. Did you get that? I'm so excited about this. So moving forward, when it comes to your messaging, please understand that you've been called to lead a group of people, right? To this next level, right? And leading them doesn't mean that you just glow all the way there. You just glitter all the way there. It means that you're showing them that there's areas, there's gaps, there's traps. You're showing them the things that you've overcome, the things that you've been through, so they can be like, oh my goodness, me too. Me too. Yes, I felt that way. If you're teaching on marriage, oh my goodness, yes, we argue sometimes. If you're a career coach, yes, I've gotten fired before. And my client, when she wrote her book, she put that in her book. I've gotten fired before, and it made me feel bad and depressed. Corporate America was this and that. Yes, speak on it. Because here's the thing, right? Our truth, your truth, is what actually heals. Your truth is what actually heals. So when you think and you compare, God is like, what are you? Why? Why, my dear? Why? I've given you these stories. I've given you these trials, these journeys. You've come through all these things. This is your truth. This is your medicine. You need nothing else. Open your mouth and share what you've been through. Now, sharing what you've been through from a place of here is the epiphany. Here is the lessons that I've learned, right? Here's the lessons. Here's the epiphany. Here's what I've learned as a result. Is so different than bleeding on your clients, bleeding on the podcast, bleeding and saying, and you see what I'm saying? And so please understand, when it's time to share, you'll know that you're not bleeding when you're sharing the gem. Like, you can share the gem. Like, you see how I cried, but it was a crying because I put myself back in there to share with you the story, but I'm not bleeding anymore because I've done the healing work around that, right? So I can share the lessons, the gem, the epiphanies with you, right? So this is what you want, right? So when you're, let's say, for example, you're in the middle, you're smack dead in the middle of a divorce right now, for example, right? I don't wish that on anybody, right? And you're a marriage coach, right? You may not want to talk about certain things pertaining to the divorce because you're in the middle of it, right? So you're bleeding right now. So the gems that you're supposed to collect as a result of this divorce, you don't have it yet. You don't have it. You don't have it to give. So you might want to stay away from the topic. If you want to be honest and open with your tribe, you can tell them, look, I'm going through something difficult right now. It's really rough. You don't want to talk about the divorce because of your kids or whatever. You can say that or whatever. But just understand that you don't have to teach while you're wounded and trying to repair the wound, right? Is now, as you've walked along your journey, you've caught some gems. You've caught some lessons. You're like, oh, that's why that happened. That is the benefit of the journey, is so that you can teach the lesson. You can teach the lesson. Okay. That's the benefit of your story. Every story has a lesson, right? I wouldn't tell a story without a lesson. Same thing for you, right? As you're thinking about your social media and you're thinking about the messaging that you're going to share, and you're thinking about all the people you will call to impact on a greater level, the greatest impact you can have on them is to share your message, share your story, the truth, as you've lived it, and the truth in terms of the gems, the understanding, the epiphany, and the lessons, the way you were given, the way it was given to you. Remember when I told you, when the Holy Spirit said to me, Queenette, like it was just such a very, that's how the, I believe that's how my Holy Spirit talks to me. Like it's not loud. It's not, it doesn't have the spicy. It's just very calm, matter of fact. Like, you know, just trust me. You know, it's going to be okay. Like, Queenette, just open your heart. Queenette, just allow. Like, it's literally that. It's not in long paragraphs. It's just the moment like, oh my God, it's, oh my God, I hear you. It's like this moment where you just hear it. It's like, you know, it's not your ego voice. You know, it's not this, you know, whatever, like the anxiety, you know, it's not none of that. It's just this voice that just comes through when you're quiet enough. And it's just like, it will just speak to you. It will just tell you. It's just so clear. And you're like, oh my God. And you're like so grateful because it's like, oh my God, like, you know what I mean? And so for those of you that hear your Holy Spirit all the time, God bless you. Like, I feel like I hear my soul, like I know what my soul wants, but sometimes hearing that voice in that direction, those moments are like, oh, thank you. Like, I just feel like so, it feels so good. So perhaps I need to continue to practice more and more so I can have I can build a better, deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit. All right. All that to say, right, when it comes to abandonment wounds, I wouldn't say issues, it's just wounds. It's not just wounds. And your messaging, that the best gift you can give somebody is the gift of vulnerability, because in your vulnerability, right, people get to see that, oh my gosh, we're all the same. Oh my God, you too. Oh my God, thank you. Oh my God, this is what you learned. Oh, cool. This is what I've learned. And we get to continue to be that light for each other. We are one body. So as long as I share my light with you and you share your light with me, we're lighting and illuminating the world. And this is what we're all called to do. Okay. Thank you so much, Unstoppable Queen Tribe. The Unstoppable Queen Tribe, those of you that are listening, right? We have work to do in the world. We have work to do in the world. Those of us that have been called, right? We're given a responsibility to literally light up the pathway for people. This responsibility is such an honor. And I want you to take it as a responsibility that is such an honor so that it could be super clear as to why you are necessary, as to why your unique stories are necessary, as to why you should share those stories as often as possible, making sure to leave those gems and those lessons learned and the epiphanies with your clients in your content. That is what makes you unique. You don't got to go look for how to be unique. You don't got to go, oh my God, look how Oprah did it. Oh my gosh. No, look at Michelle Obama. These are all my people. Look at Beyonce. No, I glean from their light. Glean. They're on my walls, along with my family, my children, my mom, my kids. They're all on my wall. Those three women impact me in a different way. And perhaps I should talk about it in another episode, Oprah, Michelle Obama, and Beyonce, and what their avatar, if I may, what they represent for me. I'll do that in another episode. Okay. Until then, take very, very good care of yourself. Take very good care of yourself. And the way you take your good care of yourself is to love the authentic you. Do everything in your power to fall in love with your voice. Do everything in your power to fall in love with your stories. Do everything in your power to fall in love with your body. Do everything in your power to fall in love with the journey. Fall in love with the process. Fall in love with your current life the way it is right now, with the full understanding is that you are one of the luckiest people on the planet right now. If you can hear this podcast and you have a computer, you have a phone, you have ears to hear, you have eyes to see, you are breathing, you're able to walk, we are one of the blessed people on the planet. And I want you to please embrace the blessings. Please understand the gratitude. Please be grateful for everything that you have right now. Be grateful for everything you have right now, okay? And know that you are already on your way and everything is unfolding. The reason why you can hear this message is because truly you are on the path and everything is unfolding for you, okay? All right, take care. Bye.
Thank you for joining us on another insightful episode of Messaging for Impact with your host, Queenette Wobodo. We hope you've gained valuable insights and inspiration to fuel your entrepreneurial journey. If you found today's episode helpful, please consider subscribing, rating, and leaving a review on your preferred podcast platform. Your feedback fuels our mission to empower women entrepreneurs like you. Remember, your message has the power to change lives, starting with your own. Stay tuned for our next episode, where we'll continue to explore the strategies and mindset shifts that will help you leave a lasting legacy through your business. Until then, keep believing in your limitless potential and keep sharing your message for impact.